My guest is Pacific Legal Foundation attorney Ethan Hunt. He was named, they named a character after him in Mission Impossible. And no, I'm sorry, Ethan Blevins. Ethan Blevins. We were talking about Love Letters, Portland, Oregon case in the last segment, and we're going to get a little bit of a recap on a case called Yim versus City of Seattle, which maybe has some overlap on First Amendment rights, and we'll let Ethan give a recap of what happened with that case. But before we jump into that, and then I'll ask him a little bit about Utah real estate. Before we jump into it, before the break, I asked, what is fixed and broken at the same time? Can you answer that question?
Oh, I've thought deeply about it over the last 2 minutes, and I have no idea, except I will say maybe mortgage. It's fixed, and I don't know, maybe
ooh, that's clever. A fixed-rate loan, that's a good, that's a good. No, it would be a neutered housebroken dog, fixed and broken at the same time. Okay, this is what I do in my spare time. So, Yim versus City of Seattle, you were on in 2017. What's that case about, and what happened with the case?
Sure. So the City of Seattle around that time in 2017 passed a local ordinance called Fair Chance Housing Ordinance that banned landlords from asking about criminal history of tenants or rental applicants, or using criminal history as a basis to deny them housing or take other adverse action against them. And we brought a First Amendment and a due process challenge to that law. Effectively, First Amendment argument is landlords have a right to ask a question, and they have a right to receive this information that's protected by the First Amendment. We lost that case in July of this year, and we're currently on appeal. And I'm hopeful about our chances on appeal, but that's still ongoing.
Now, I forgot that aspect of the case. I thought it was more for forcing the landlord to just simply accept the first person who applies for the unit. I forgot that that was an aspect of the case where they weren't able to ask about... What's the name of the Los Angeles district attorney that's been under the gun lately? Because they say he's acting more as a defense attorney instead of going after criminals. It sounds like something he would have made up, saying you can't ask, when you can't ask income, you can't ask if they've ever paid their rent on time, how much money they make. It could. Where do you draw the line? So where do you go from here? You're going to appeal to the state Supreme Court in Washington? Or?
Right. So I should say there's some name confusion, but probably on my part. There were two Yim cases brought by us challenging different ordinances. So one was that criminal background check ordinance. The other was a law that required the landlord to take the first applicant who applied. Unfortunately, we've lost both those cases. The one about that first-in-time rule that requires a landlord to rent to the first applicant, that went up to the state Supreme Court, and we've lost at the state Supreme Court. So, unfortunately, that law is in effect now, ongoing, and there's not much to be done about that. The other one, the background check one, is still on appeal, so there's some hope there. That's in the federal court system. So there's two Yim cases, just so we could make it as confusing as possible for everyone.
No, that actually clarifies it, and now we know the status of both, so that's good. And it seems like you would have a better shot at this one because, but the way the world is turning, who knows? Okay, I know you weren't prepared for this question, and you're an attorney, not a real estate agent, but... do you have any idea what it would cost to buy an acre or two with a little house on it? I know Utah's a big place. I don't know where you're living now, but any sense of prices and what's going on in your area?
A little bit. I mean, we purchased our home here 2 years ago in a place called Bountiful, Utah, that's just about 10 more minutes north of Salt Lake City. So it's sort of a bedroom community, obviously major, the largest city in the state is Salt Lake. So I imagine it's going to be a little bit pricier here than it would be potentially in other places, although Park City is going to be where it's the most expensive, sort of a retirement resort community. As far as I'm aware, houses here, you know, we're on far less than an acre, but probably for an acre, a home on an acre or more, I would guess about $500,000.
And just a typical home, and this is 10 minutes, you said, north of Salt Lake.
Yes, yeah. So it's right in the corridor, downtown area corridor. Very easy to get into the city. And I think, you know, there's a lot of growth in south of Salt Lake in a community called Lehi, Utah. It's just growing incredibly fast. There's a lot of residential development down there. So that might be a useful place to look.
And when you bought your house, did you include a love letter with your offer?
You know, ironically, we didn't. We probably should have, but the person selling, he didn't even wait for an additional offer. He just said sure and took our offer and it ended. But no, it's possible the real estate agent wrote a cover letter on our behalf, which ironically Oregon also prohibits that too. But I think usually realtors let people know, hey, here's some details about the buyer. If a buyer doesn't write something.
Right. I mean, I assume you would want to have hid the fact that you were an attorney.
Oh, yeah, that definitely would not. Attorneys, despite constant lobbying, are still not a protected class. So I have to be careful.
You know, I have to hesitate. One time I told an attorney joke, and someone called after the program, and he was absolutely livid. Or maybe even called on the air and said something like, you know, well, when you need an attorney or a doctor, you're not going to make fun of them. And I kind of took a poll of some attorneys I knew, and there was one attorney who definitely objected to attorney jokes. So I'm glad you didn't hang up on me. My guest from the Pacific Legal Foundation, Ethan Blevins, thank you so much for your time. Interesting case. We've been tracking it here in California. Right now, California Association of Realtors has not made a definitive rule on it. It hasn't gone to the legislature yet, but you know what? Because of all the brouhaha, and I've never said that word on the air in 23 years, it's being discouraged. It's being discouraged. Now, if a seller insists on, or a buyer insists on wanting to write a letter, we can't legally tell them not to, but we're definitely cautioning people not to do it. So that's where we're at in California. Ethan Blevins, Pacific Legal Foundation, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, and then finally, trading his Brentwood villa for a marijuana farm, Jim Belushi sold his house in Brentwood, the third priciest home sale of the year. And here he's now labeled as actor-turned-cannabis farmer Jim Belushi. Just because he bought some land up in Eagle Point, Oregon. I wonder if he wrote a letter to the seller saying he was going to grow cannabis. And he's been on a Discovery Channel's 2020 series, Growing Belushi. I like Jim Belushi for some reason. He just always plays these great characters. But his parcel sat on a triple lot, 1.3 acres, one of the largest plots in plots. It sounds like a cemetery. How about a parcel? Largest parcel in Brentwood Park. 14,000 square foot home, 7 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, and a sauna. I'd much rather have a sauna over a hot tub sitting there in a cesspool of infectious diseases with your friends. Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.